Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Almost Spicy podcast. Today, our guest, Rottweiler. Give it up.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you.
How are you doing, brother?
I'm good. Good. Really happy to be here.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming.
Absolutely.
Of course, my co-host, Ben.
Yes, it is me.
Don't forget that he's here. Absolutely. Dude, thanks for coming on here, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Dude, of course. Yeah, I guess let's tell everybody who you are and what you stand for and your, vaccination status.
Yeah. No. I'm definitely vexed.
No, I'm just kidding.
So I'm Rottweiler, drummer, artist, educator, good friend.
Listener,
you know what I'm saying?
Man of Christ.
Man of God,
God.
I'm trying to do better, trying to do good,
That's your first on God.
On God. Wait, I get five of those.
That's crazy.
I get five on God.
That's good to know. I haven't done mine yet.
Yeah.
I gotta get the countdown going.
That's your first year. And then
your.
Oh, also, you're only limited to three twerks.
Roger that.
Sheesh.
I hope we don't get demonetized for that.
It's in early. I love that.
Yeah, no, get them in for sure.
Please,
get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Yo, so you're primarily a drummer.
Yes.
And you're known to be in 10 different bands.
Yeah.
Including mine. So
Absolutely. Shout
out that. Shout out me. I thought it was a new single out right now. Stream that right now. So many people. Rottweiler on the drums.
Yeah.
Had to plug that. Dope. But let's name a couple of these groups, right? We got Illism. Please give us more.
Yeah, absolutely. I just played with Madam Blue last night. Amazing artist. Root 3. One of my main bands. My own band, Rottweiler. Backwood Drift. I just started playing with them. Super great group. Abandoned Quest, which is kind of a niche thing. It's like video game music.
The video game music.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yes,
and you've done convention, a video game convention.
Yeah. We've done some pretty big ones, actually. There's some out here. VGMCon.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. But we did a MAGFest in D.C.
D.C.,
which is the biggest video game music convention in the world.
That's wild.
Yeah, so that was it was super crazy.
Yeah.
Playing in the middle of the day, and it's just like a sea of people.
That's sick.
Yeah,
man.
And it's
now, what is video game music? So it's
because
you're all over the place with the music too.
Yeah.
Are you are you a total nerd when it comes to this shit?
I think when it comes to music in general, I am a bit of a nerd. When it comes to video game music, I realize that I'm way less of a nerd than the people in the band.
Okay.
Yeah.
They could tell you this is a Mario Kart song from, but they actually sampled it from Sonic back in the,
That's wild.
And it's really weird niche games that they would actually know the music from. And the music is killing. It's super intricate stuff. A lot of metal, but also a lot of kind of pop stuff.
Okay.
But it's still really aggressive. It has that rock edge and all that.
That's what gamers like.
Yeah.
Because they got to get in that.
Because it's super intense.
Yeah.
It keeps you, in the
vibe. While you have your Mountain Dew on the side. And
you know what I'm saying?
Your headset on.
Headset on. Absolutely. Cheetos fingers.
Cheetos. I swear.
Your controllers, piece of it. Come on.
Please, if you can get anything from this, clean your controllers.
Seriously.
And your instruments, right?
Yeah.
Even the guitars, I feel like, is important.
For sure.
What do you clean your drumsticks? Or you just break them?
Not the drumsticks. The drumsticks, they take the beating, and then when they crack, it's over with.
Do people actually clean their drumsticks?
No.
I can't imagine in a world you would do that.
No. Drums and cymbals, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Get the polish and all.
But you're just
banging
down
away at the drumsticks, and then it's falling apart. You don't want to clean
I can't imagine that. That checks out.
The Clorox wipe on that,
right?
How was COVID for you?
COVID was very interesting. I was in my senior year of college when COVID hit, and it was second semester. And then we just got the email, we're not going to have classes for a month. And then it was we're actually not going to have classes for the rest of the semester.
Right.
So it was kind of weird because that was also my graduation year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I didn't get to walk.
That's
but I still got my degree.
Okay.
You know, still finished
at least
doing classes and stuff. But like in that month where we were off of classes, like I just wrote like 30 songs.
Jeez.
You know, just even if it was just like small scratch tracks.
Yeah.
Just on like Logic and stuff like that.
Okay. I like Logic.
Yeah.
Especially when we started recording for those songs that we did. Like Logic. This is big because I'm like Team Ableton, but this is big that I like Logic.
Sure, for sure.
I am a hard-bodied Logic user.
Yeah, seriously.
It's, like, I fucking love
it's
Logic.
It's super easy to use. And I know, you know, it was like something that I just kind of picked up. But
yeah,
the school, they gave us some MIDI keyboards, you know, for classes and stuff
that
I needed to finish off. And, you know, I just basically plugged it up to my computer and was like, I'm gonna make a lot of songs.
I mean, especially in the level of just using MIDIs and stuff like that, there's so many powerful tools that you can like manipulate so many different aspects of stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And it's such a great
absolutely too,
yeah. Like I obviously like Ableton has a lot of more I would say like high-end stock stuff put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what comes from that like price point. But I think what Logic has the advantage of is more so you're given so many instruments, you're given so many. The unfortunate thing is like I think there is a lot of tools within Logic that people do not know about because they are kind of hidden within this
for
and you have to like
for sure.
And you really got to know.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. There's so many different like aspects to it. But it's a recording. It's a recording for like program.
Yeah.
It has elements of Pro Tools to me, Logic. Sure. Well, it's the industry
standard. That was the intention.
It was meant to be like a purely like you're going to record entirely like full sessions on all levels and mix and master everything within the program rather than like I think where Ableton kind of falls off a little bit is the mixing and mastering aspect of it.
Yeah, I know a lot of cats use the Ableton for like the live show stuff.
They do, yeah.
And that really works too, but I feel like just Logic has just a little bit more of a simpler feel to
it. It is more simple.
It's more of like for the everyday man.
Yeah, Ableton's fun though, man. I think you'll fuck with it like if you ever get into it. Like for me, it's like beats and stuff and like hi-hats, automation, all that is just easier. And as well as transposing, or not transposing, like when you like bend, flex, like if I play this a little off, I can like move it over and it just stretches it.
For sure.
I just feel comfortable. You can, I just haven't like dug into it. And what on Ableton can do it for sure. Let me see what I have for notes, man. Let's talk about it, bro. You were born in Trinidad.
Yes. Trinidad. Trinidad and Tobago. It's Twin Island, but Trinidad is where I'm from, the actual island of Trinidad.
Yeah.
And moved to America at 13 or 14. For my dad's job.
To Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I moved to D.C. at like 14 for my dad's job. And been in the U.S. ever since.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a great journey, honestly. I miss D.C. a lot.
Yeah.
It was really cool going back there for MacFest. You know, got to see my friends and stuff that, you know.
That's sweet. Are you still in contact with them and stuff?
Yeah. Quite a bit of them. And it was just really beautiful to be able to go back and experience and reminisce and get the nostalgia in.
Oh, God, yeah.
And yeah.
That's the nice part about traveling, too, though. You get to see everything and then, like, a place becomes special when you go back to it, you know. Instead of if you're only in one place forever, you're, like, just kind of like, this is my everyday. There's nothing special here.
Yeah,
but then you could come back after years and be like, oh, sure. The whole thing is special.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and it's been cool, you know, moving out here from there. You know, it's kind of a different experience. But what I like about both cities is that they both have their own sound.
That's
you know, that's something that I didn't really realize moving out here. Mm-hmm. But once I came out here, I was like, oh, man, like, yeah, this city has like its own sound, just like D.C. You know, D.C. has the go-go music. You know what I'm saying? And out here, you know, we got the Minneapolis funk.
Yeah.
You know, with the Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Prince and all those guys. And it's really cool to be able to, you know, fit in and learn, you know, the authenticity of both the sides of those cities.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, yeah.
Just music, man. Music's your bread and butter, right?
Absolutely.
It's your blood, everything.
Absolutely.
You're gigging every week.
Yeah. For the most part,
amongst the bands and everything. What I want to get to the fun stuff, the interesting stuff. Tell me about that rock star lifestyle. Is it what it's cracked up to be? Are you going to the gigs? You say you don't really drink too much. You have one or two.
Yeah, you know? Gotcha. Yeah, it is fun. It's fun. It's a lot of work. You know, when you're playing in like 10 plus bands, you also have to think about rehearsals, but it's like double that.
So you're gonna
have at least two rehearsals.
Your schedule is just like insane. You got like blocked off.
Pretty
rehearsal here, and like, how many rehearsals do you do in a day?
Sometimes it can get up to like two or three
different
groups, you know.
Yeah.
For instance, like I would say previous season, so like kind of like earlier this year, you know, we're doing the abandoned quest thing. So I also playing with Illism, and we both rehearse on Mondays, and it's like back to back, you know what I'm saying? So I go to this abandoned quest rehearsal, you know, and then do this crazy music, and then it'd be like, all right, off to the next one, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and then it's like this completely different, you know, vibe, you know, going from the crazy metal, jazz, fusion, video game music to like this more like R&B, hip hop, kind of vibe. But it still like has similar intensities because fortunately a lot of these groups, they let me do me.
That's cool.
And bring my voice to the group. Which is super great. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But you still have to like shift gears and, you know, put yourself in a different mindset, you know?
So how long, I mean, how many sessions are you doing in a day of rehearsals and how long are they?
Usually rehearsals could probably last about 2 hours, maybe three, depending on a couple different factors. You know, if the show itself, if we're doing like a long set, like an hour set or something like that, that'll probably be ranging from anything from like 9 to like 13 tunes, depending on the
group.
But in that it's kind of like an intense process because now I'm like thinking of like something, you know, with an abandoned quest, you know, we have the metal stuff. So I got to be in the mode of like the double bass drum pedals and huge drum fills. And it's like, but you know, in an Illism setting, you know, it's more like grooves and I pick my spaces, you know, where I like the big drum fills and
definitely,
you know, support the music.
So that's awesome. To me, what that all sounds like is anybody out there with those excuses, they are not valid.
Oh, man.
That's funny. It's an inspiration, man. I think one of the things that I believe is that we're, on earth to inspire and to be inspired.
Yeah.
So just you inspire many.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Just know that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm inspired by a lot as well.
Dude, yeah, gotta
absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's talk about these releases. When you release music, when you release with a group, how is that different from when you release solo? You just put out a song called 420.
Yep.
We've been playing it here at the studio nonstop.
Word. Thank you.
What is that? How is that different for you?
Well, self-release is a lot more work. That's for sure.
You got to do everything.
You definitely have to do everything. You got to do the promo. You know, you got to make sure your own band is, you know, on their stuff when it comes to recording and all that sort of stuff. And scheduling all those people to do that is extremely difficult. But when I'm like a side man and I'm working with somebody, it's more so, you know, supporting them.
Okay.
Obviously, like sharing the music and all of that. But, you know, it's sharing the music, promoting it, simpler. It's a bit more simpler. I think when you're a side man for an artist.
There's a different captain, but when you're the captain, you're like...
Yeah, but you still want to move the same way, though.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's something that you're a part of, you know, that's... You know,
you still want to care.
Yeah, it's a moment in time that you created with that artist.
If it looks bad, you're going to be reflected upon, too.
Exactly.
That's, the 420 track. And,
yeah, right.
And just, like, releasing music, dude.
Yeah,
badass.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that exciting for you, like to get music out?
It is definitely, especially since I've been sitting on so much music for so long.
You recorded at home, right?
Yeah, actually. So for the 420 track, basically, me and my homie Mike Green he's a guitarist on the track.
Okay.
But he also helped me record the stuff at his crib.
Okay.
So I basically took my drums over there, set them up, and then this is crazy because all those scratch tracks that I made during COVID, we basically just kind of like mapped them out for the drums. And then we went for like 2-3 days and just recorded drums over the scratch tracks. And then we're like, we're just going to let everybody else record over my stuff. So that's how it came about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I think that was really, really cool how that, you know, came together.
Yeah. Oh, that's badass, dude. Yeah. The big one, Room 3.
Yes.
There's rumors about a record.
Yes.
They say there's photos of you leaving the studio.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's done. We don't know if it's coming out.
Well, yeah.
What can you tell us, man? That jazz record, man. I love going to those shows, man.
That record is being it's in the works right now.
Okay.
It's in the works right now. It's being perfected.
Okay.
But we're really, really hoping for a spring release.
Spring.
Yes. Spring release.
It just takes that much time to do it right. Because you don't want to, like...
Absolutely.
You do all this, and you're like, let's drop it tomorrow. It's finally done. No, you can't drop it the next day. You have to
map
everything out. Videos ready, like, content ready. People have to know that it's existing, hype. Like.
Absolutely. But, yeah, it's going to be incredible, actually, if I do say so myself. Not to, like...
It can't be on your soul.
Beyond that, but it's definitely something that I'm extremely proud of, because I think I put my heart and soul into... playing on that record, but also
writing.
And I'm very, very, very thankful to be able to express myself in such a way that is like very kind of open and just like all my different modes are kind of on there.
That's wild. What can you tell us about jazz, man? What is a jazz album even?
Yeah, I think jazz is completely different than what it was even 30 years ago. You know what I mean? I think it's moving into a wave of bringing all these other different genres and, you know, using that jazz history and, you know, all the different formats of writing music in jazz, but, you know, just giving it a little bit more edge, you know, with some hip hop stuff, we know, with some prog rock stuff. A lot of people are doing that nowadays. But I think it's changing the way that we think about what the meaning of jazz is.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. But it's super cool. Some of that traditional stuff is still there, you know, like form stuff, you know, soloing, you know, we're going to solo on the B section, you know, then we're going to do different keys, you know, instrumentation, all of that. Of course, you know, jazz is primarily instrumental music, you know.
Is there any vocals on the Room 3 record?
There is some surprise vocals.
Ooh, okay.
There's some situations up in there.
Some situations.
Possibly. Let me see.
You got Soulflower on there?
Ooh, we do not have Soulflower.
Oh, you don't got Soulflower.
Shout out Soulflower. That's actually one of my favorite groups. You know, every single person in that group is a friend of mine.
Oh, God. And shout out...
what's bro's name, bro?
Matt. Shout out, Matt.
Yeah. Big Matt, Big Frequency, man.
Frequency bro, that's such a great name, dude. Can we talk about the name Frequency?
Because
when I would see his name, and it's spelled, for the audience, spelled freak, like a freak, F-R-E-A-K, and then when, W-H-E-N, and then S-E-E, like C. I was like, what is that? And then I said it a million times, Frequency.
Yeah.
Wild. A revelation for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, I kind of did the same type of thing too with my name.
Your name is so sick.
Yeah, Rob Wyland, it's spelled way different, you know, R-A-W-T-W-H-Y-L-A-H.
You know
what I'm saying?
But it makes so much sense the way it's spelled.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my mom is a speech therapist.
Really?
So she works with phonetics.
Yes.
And sounding out words. She helps stroke victims and special needs people.
Amazing.
Helping them how to speak. Properly.
Get back into it.
Yeah, that's just something that it was kind of like a cool little dedication to her. And I've been kind of figuring out, you know, how to make it, you know, kind of cool, like a almost like, you know, like a meaningful thing.
Yeah.
The R-A-W, raw. You know, I always want my music to be raw. Yeah. You know, T's, they turn to, you know what I mean? Why? You know, because I want to, you know what I mean? And then L-A-H, love all humans.
Wow.
That's kind of been...
That's
kind of been my little vibe recently. I've been trying to make it more meaningful.
Because words have a lot of meaning.
Absolutely. And I don't want to just be like, you know, it's my favorite dog. You know, I love Rottweilers. That's my steez, you know. But I think, you know, making it a little bit deeper.
And it's a brand and it's an image and it's the music, but it's still like power into every single syllable. I love
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Let's get into this kind of this crazy stuff, huh? Let's dive into The church. You play at church.
Yes.
Every week.
Every week, guys.
How you owe me a soda? No. We are in Scorpio season right now.
Yes.
Halloween is coming up next Thursday. Where are you? There's so much to get right. Spiritually? Okay, let me...
this is good.
I'll bring the audience up to speed. Halloween is in Scorpio season on purpose because it's like... has to do with the galaxy, planets, astrology. Basically the time where we're closest to kind of the spirit realm. So traditionally, Day of the Dead in Mexico, you can actually talk to the spirits or we'll leave out, you know, offerings. Or back in years ago, they would collect the bones of the deceased and use that to communicate to the other side.
Yeah.
People think that it's just costumes out of nowhere and kind of stuff like that. But there's some real spirituality aspects to it. And how does that all tie into, you know, Jesus Christ for you, religion? Do you think Jesus Christ was a man? Do you think that God is really that white bearded man, or is it really just this giant energy? Are we all the same person? I'll let you take it.
I think it's, man, there's so that's really layered, first of all. Whoa, that was awesome. That was such a great setup. Whoa. I think for me, since I'm so much more of a spiritual person rather than a religious person.
I'm the same way.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, I go to church every Sunday. I play at church. Mm. I love my church, love my pastors. I love the people at the church. I think sometimes people tend to be afraid of church. Yeah, because of, you know, different feelings and notions that maybe come with that. But I think a lot of the spirituality of church is connected to the physical plane. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like...
Like the community?
Yeah, like the community. Messages. Yeah, the messages. Mostly the messages. Mm-hmm. I think mostly the messages. And it's all meant to be kind of interpreted in your own
way.
You know what I mean? I don't think there's necessarily one straight way that the spirituality or religion is supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's supposed to be interpreted.
Yeah.
Then let's get into that. So like many are not able to differentiate what you just said. Many are not able to say it's an interpretation.
Yeah.
Many will say it's literal.
Yeah.
The Bible.
Yeah.
So if we, you know, talk about the history of the Bible, we're talking about the scrolls, the elders, not the Elder Scrolls. What am I talking about? The what are they called?
The books.
Yeah, yeah. Like the tablets. There's tablets and the scrolls that were translated.
Gotcha.
Into German.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So originally in the I always say the same shit. In the tablets. In the tablets, God, every time in the Bible it says God, it really was God's.
You're right.
So that was actually a mistranslation when they lost the S. So that shows that there are maybe more than one, you know, gods or these entities. Mm-hmm. And so it was translated, and then like so many translations later you start to lose some of the meaning that was maybe in there. And then but something like a name like John, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's the same name across the board. John, Jose, Joseph, it's all the same.
Right.
You know, was Mary a virgin, really?
Yeah.
That pregnancy may have been alien-induced because there was, if she was really a virgin, like, was Jesus an alien?
That is a very interesting concept.
But
and that would be the coolest thing in the world, actually.
This, I mean, it's talked about, you know. And he died at 33, and 33 is a master number.
Right.
I don't know if you're big into numerology.
Not super big, but I feel like it's something that I would be interested in.
No, for sure, for sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, like in the Bible, a lot of stuff is symbolic, right?
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely. And, you know, it says that, you know, God made us in his image, so.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the biggest.
Are we gods?
That's what I wanted to get to.
And I feel like as humans, we kind of are. You know what I mean? We are gods. It's just about, you know, tapping in to you know, our inner spirituality and who we, what we stand for and things like that. So.
And that goes into that. Are we all, if we're all God, are we all the same God? Are we all going through the same life, going through the same, thinking the same thoughts? And
absolutely.
Like, if I think something will you, can you receive it? Because we're having, my mind is your mind in theory.
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, we're all humans. So it's kind of like we are experiencing the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
You know, we all experience puberty.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
We all born, we all die. You know, we go through old age, all of these different things. We got the same blood, everything inside of us.
We're talking about there's only one race, the human race.
And we ran that up the channel. For sure. Race is definitely a man-made kind of societal construct.
I want to tap into, and I've tapped into this in a previous episode, but listen to this. There's a theory that there's like multiple species of aliens that impregnated and seeded the previous like Homo sapien, whatever it was before us, right? So you're maybe talking about Asian aliens, Mexican aliens, black aliens, and that's why they're, and they each had their own. They were all like, oh no, we're all going to do our own little thing. That's maybe where you got some of those differences, but there's, the evolution was just so fast, you know, like the consciousness moment and like the human is so capable.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's just a lot, man.
There's a lot of things that we need to push ourselves beyond what's expected.
You know, the society makes it so that you don't think that you're a god.
Exactly.
You want to, they make you forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even for a revolution, you can't do that because you're too busy at work.
Right.
8 hours a day. 8 hours of the day sleeping. That's 2/3 of the day. Yeah. How am I going to go protest if I'm being advertised to go drink and do drugs and eat these foods and fall asleep and then run the cycle again type of shit? I want to ask you if you had any experiences with psychedelics.
Very, very small experiences. I've done like shrooms, you know, but it was like chocolates, you know, and it was like cool, you know. I was like happy, you know. I was at a concert, Robert Glasper concert, actually.
Nice.
And it was like he was playing like the real smooth stuff, and I was like, yeah, this is nice.
He felt a little like,
yeah, definitely. I felt, you know, really happy.
Did you feel more connected to the music? Because
I feel like I'm so tapped into music that literally anything would make me connected to
Yeah.
music, you know what I'm saying? And I'll drink water and I'm connected.
it's funny because I feel like a lot of people when they take like shrooms, especially in a music setting, like they feel it's a spiritual experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you really feel every aspect of
it. Absolutely. I will say that it was heightened.
Yeah.
It was definitely heightened.
Too big of a dose.
Nah, it was super small. Just kind of enjoy myself for the show. You know, it was just a vibe. But yeah, it was great. It was great. I liked it. Absolutely.
Interesting.
I was on a little microdose at the Dakota show, that the Ricky Monique show.
Oh man, that was so much fun. I loved playing that show.
That was fun.
That was great.
We got to catch up after that.
Yeah, man. I love the Dakota. Shout out to Dakota.
Shout out to the Dakota.
Seriously. Actually, I just saw the booker for Dakota yesterday. Yeah. Oh, just randomly. Benji. Yeah, Benji.
I was in high school.
Yeah, absolutely. Just randomly saw Benji at my gig.
He got me into that show, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Benji is cool, man. Shout out to Benji for sure.
What other shout outs can we give?
Man.
Pull your own stuff first, actually.
Definitely. Shout out to me, Rottweiler.
Shout out Rottweiler. What's the gram? We'll pull out all the links. Instagram.
Yeah, just at Rottweiler. Spell it again. RAWTWHYLA.
And all the streaming and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube as well. Shout outs Room 3, obviously. All the other crazy artists I play for, Illism, Adam Blue. Jada Lynn, you know, Jada Lynn is definitely a slept on one.
You don't discriminate with the music. You don't have a favorite, right?
Absolutely not. And I think that's one of the things that growing up when I was like really learning how to play drums, my drum teacher and my music teachers in school, they really pushed me and saw that I was very into the instrument.
Yeah.
And they were like, you gotta be a diverse player. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta tap into every different style. Don't limit yourself. Because I was always like, when I was growing up in Trinidad as a really young kid, I was always like, I wanna play Caribbean music only. I just want forever to do that, right? Yeah. And then, you know, I got more into like the R&B and stuff, you know, early 2000s stuff growing up, you know, really cool R&B stuff and neo soul stuff happening. So I was like, oh yeah, I want to be an R&B drummer. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then getting into metal and all of that. And I was just like, honestly, if I like all of these styles, I should just play all of them.
Why not?
Yeah, play all of them and be very authentic, but also very me within all of them.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge, huge advocate for that, especially with my own students, you know.
Oh, God.
Explore.
So was that the order, kind of? So you went traditional?
Traditional Caribbean music.
That was the first music you heard in your
life? Very first music I heard in my life. Very first music I learned how to play. And then, you know, I got an older sister. She's in her 30s. So she would put me on to a lot of, like, the hip-hop and R&B and, you know, soul that was going on. Yeah, absolutely. And when I was growing up, we had stuff like VH1 Soul, you know, all those different things. Yeah, 106 and Park. So it was, like, all these TV shows showing you.
Westwood TV.
AJ Free. Come on, man. You know, all of these different things. That would putting people on the music.
He's had some ridiculous interviews.
Yeah.
Tim Westwood.
Absolutely.
You're an educator.
Yes.
You said that very top of this. Can you tell us
absolutely.
That joy that brings to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, you know, of course I took drum lessons from a very, very young age up until I moved to the U.S. So until 14. So I would say probably I started at like 6 to 14. So that's a good amount of years taking actual lessons from a teacher and getting, you know, a lot of attention and being pushed to do a lot of really cool things.
They saw it in you? Like,
yeah, they saw it in me right away. You know?
The passion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very, very thankful for my drum teacher growing up, Leonardo Morales.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Also, another shout out, Aaron Spears. Rest in peace.
Ooh,
my hero. That was one of the cats that when I first started really diving in deep into drums, he was kind of like the game changer for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he, you know, he was just one of the most incredible players, but just like an insanely beautiful human being. You know?
And that's somebody you got to meet?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. It's actually crazy because my drum teacher growing up, when he put me on the Aaron and stuff, and he was like, he found out that I was moving to DC, which is where Aaron is from.
Okay.
Crazy, 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 crazy stuff with the universe with that. He was like,
where the connections are wild.
Yeah, he was like, you're about to meet Aaron and you're about to be chilling and it's going to be great. Watch the scene. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe we'll see. Yeah. The vibes that. And then 2 years later, I went to this drum camp in Cleveland that me and my mom went to. And he was one of the guys, you know. And it was very, very interesting to see him in like a clinician type of setting. And that, you know, was like kind of cool because I never really thought of Aaron as like a teacher. He was more of like a performer to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that influenced me a little bit as well to open my mind into maybe I could be a teacher one
day. That's sweet.
And then fast forward to graduating school and stuff like that. Yeah. I got the job at MCTC. Shout out to MCTC. Teaching there. I actually taught at Guitar Center for like a year before just to test it out and see how I like it. And then just seeing the gratification that these students would get when they overcome getting something that might have been difficult for them.
Yeah.
Or just seeing that, oh man, I can play in 7/8 or you know what I mean? Like, you know,
something they didn't think was possible.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, doing a rudiment and starting with your left hand and, you know, just all these different aspects of drumming and music in general.
Yeah.
Seeing them break down the barriers and, you know, be like, oh my God, I don't want more. You know, that's what really...
You kind of got like a second hand.
Yeah.
First hand, and it's just in your own way.
Absolutely. So that kind of brought me to like, wow, this is actually a beautiful experience. Yeah. Not only do I get to experience these different people and see their journeys, because obviously I had my journey for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of getting also kind of nostalgic. Like, yeah, man, I remember being able to, you know, do this one groove, but then also like making it really crazier just by opening up a hi-hat or something.
Definitely. You know, a slight change like
that. Yeah, slight changes. Like,
I wonder what your life path number is. Cause
I think it's an 8.
Is it an 8?
Yeah.
That's the wealth.
So. I believe so.
Yeah, well, it comes with a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. I've tapped really, really like slightly into the new.
It's pretty sweet, man. Stuff. Yeah.
I got to get deeper into it.
No, that's awesome, dude. Yeah. The education, man. I just want to do a quick side note. And then I have a question. You were saying rest in peace. So I just want to say rest in peace to a childhood friend of mine, Sequoia Hoffman.
Yeah.
Just want to say rest in peace
now. Absolutely.
Just found out about that. But Yeah, no, I appreciate y'all. As far as right now slash the future, I don't like to say the future, but like, because I think right now is the future.
Yeah.
And it's everything, like right now is everything. So like right now, what's the direction? What's like, you know, the next few goals and like.
For sure.
You know, what's, are you doing it right now? What you could you do right now for the rest of your life?
Absolutely. Well, performing.
Yeah.
100%. Performing I will be doing for the rest of my life. Absolutely.
Good.
Teaching, I don't think I'll be doing for the rest of my life. I think right now I'm in a season of being an educator and putting myself out there.
And some employment with it and everything.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's cool. But I would really love to get out there and tour more.
Tour.
City to city. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's kind of crazy because I actually had my first tour at 13.
Wow.
Yeah. And that, I think that was kind of the moment where I was like, I'm gonna be doing this for the rest of my life.
That's really cool. Earlier,
yeah, that's a blessing. Absolutely,
definitely a blessing.
It was not like it was like this crazy, like we're on the bus every night.
Yeah,
and it was more of like, so it was essentially a youth festival in Scotland, Aberdeen Youth Festival.
Nice.
And I was playing with this steel drum group from back in Trinidad. We were all kids, grew up playing together, essentially in the same school.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to Scotland and we were there for 2 weeks performing in different places. Damn,
that's crazy.
And then, yeah, at 13, yeah, it was like, I'm gonna be doing this, you know what I mean?
That's incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I ended up going back to Scotland when I graduated high school to a completely different area in Scotland. And it was doing kind of the same thing, but this time it was more of for a musical playing in the pit orchestra. And that was also a really cool experience.
Wow.
I think that set up, you know, the vibes for what I'm trying to be doing.
Yeah. Performance set throughout.
Yeah.
What has been like your favorite place that you've toured to, like, or even just performed at?
Favorite place that I've performed at. That's a really good one. I've performed at South by Southwest.
Nice.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Because not only do they have like stages and stuff that you can perform at, but there's like little bars, you know, on the strip of the street that, you know, they'll be packed like sardines.
Yeah.
There, and it'll be the most killing people, you know, just randomly. Yeah, just playing there. And it's like, you know. I played at South by the first time I played. It was multiple times. Yeah, I played twice. Played South by twice. First time was 2016, and then the second time was 2018, I think.
I think they cut it for COVID.
Yeah. And then I've also played at NIMH, which is the biggest music convention. In California. That is super awesome. Done that twice.
Nice.
But I think my all-time favorite gig was when the Super Bowl was out here.
Oh, wow.
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, they did the Super Bowl live concert series right outside in downtown. And I played that with Illism on one of the nights.
Oh, that's sick.
And it was blistering cold.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like, the stages it was like late, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything was, it was kind of wild. But like, when we got on that stage, like, the energy was just like, we're going to push through this cold. And it's like, you know. Full force. I did not have gloves on.
I feel like that's dangerous.
We had like bombers and stuff on there.
Okay, that's legit.
Yeah.
So but I think we clocked DeCarlo at, how many did he say he played 1,000 shows in his life? So how can you clock a number as far as shows, gigs you've done?
For shows in my entire music career so far.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would be in the high hundreds.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
That sounds wild.
Yeah, mid to high hundreds.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll probably just go right in the middle and say 500.
Oh, I thought you were like 190. I thought you were talking. No, you're like 500 shows.
Probably up there. It's probably up there.
Sick.
That's
wild. That's a lot of gigs.
Yeah, if you think about it, yeah, I mean, I've been playing drums for like 20 years technically, but like professionally, if I started at like 13, I'm 27 now.
Okay.
Within those 10 plus years,
1997 gang.
Yeah, I'm 96.
You're 96?
Yeah, okay. 96. November 96.
Scorpio. What's your birthday? Gang.
November 17th. Coming up. Yeah, absolutely.
Scorpio.
Absolutely. Yeah, beautiful. Man. I ain't gonna lie, probably not even 500 though. Now that I think about it, maybe like
420. 304?
Yeah, maybe like three or
between, oh, three or four.
Between 300 and 400 probably.
Absolutely. Everybody say happy birthday to Rottweiler right now.
Happy birthday.
That's the clip.
Yo.
We're fucking going crazy right now.
I think
we're at like low key, like 40 minutes. Like keep chopping it up.
Yeah, let's keep going. We end it.
Something like that. Yeah. Anything coming to mind right now? But we can get to some of the news stuff. We don't have to touch too much on. Well, we do have an election coming up. Okay. This is. I want to actually have it written down. It says, you are brave to be coming onto this podcast in such a tremendous time in society. Yeah, no, you got it. Yeah, in such a twerk time in society. That's one. So thanks for coming on here, and you already told us you're not able to vote. You're not actually a citizen of the United States.
Yes.
Don't mean to dox you like that.
Nah, it's all good.
Kind of a flex.
It's all good. Trinidad, big up yourself.
Oh, God. So what we always talk about how left wing, right wing, it's the same bird. You know what I mean?
Real.
It's like.
That's.
You know what I mean? So it's a dark subject.
Yeah.
I was in an Uber today and with a 60-year-old man. He said that he's not voting for either party because he can't support genocide.
Yeah.
And so it was like, that's legitimate. You know?
Absolutely.
Of course, in Minnesota, 100%. Like with the Electoral College, you know, we'll probably give it to Kamala Harris.
Mm.
Obviously, Tim Walz being from here. But yeah, it's like Michigan. I know like the Arab population there is not folding. Like,
yeah, man. It's a lot of craziness going on in the world right now.
And then we've never had so much access to it, right?
Right.
The phones. Like, we are now instantly.
Absolutely.
That's why I think with this age of Aquarius that we're in right now and, like, enlightenment age, really, transition period where, you know, Diddy, everything. Nobody can do anything without the whole world knowing.
The whole world knowing.
So now it's
overnight.
Like, and now it's all in light. So Israel does some shit, right?
Yeah.
And now we all know about it instantly. So. Yeah. We're at the breaking point, I feel like, where we're no longer going to allow it because we're conscious about it. And they will keep trying to make us, even though we know, to stay docile and everything. We were talking about drugs and foods and all these poisons and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think we're at a transitioning point, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. I just want peace and love all peace over the world, man. God, that's brother. All I'm trying. Love all humans,
bro. I swear,
love all humans.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been missing a lot of love within just the whole human race, you know.
What is it a tribute to, man? Like, and I think it does go back to some of those entities we were talking about, even demons, even like.
I feel like we as humans, we try to control each other's paths too much.
Too much,
you know. I feel like, yes, we are human, we are the same, but like, you know, each person has their own path as well.
Yeah.
We're living. Each human is kind of living the same experience,
right?
You know,
the human experience.
Yeah, the human experience. But I feel like there needs to be slight differences, you know, and that's what makes us unique.
Yeah. That's where I feel like there is those entities that might have malevolent, you know, intents.
And yeah.
They talk about, if you want to go see UFO talk about Bob Lazar and everything, 1947, Roswell UFO crashed in New Mexico. And basically, what he says, Bob Lazar, is that from the documents he read, and a lot of it might have been bullshit. He worked for the government, but maybe half of what he read was real, and then they put fake stuff in there to like dilute the whole thing. But basically, it's possible that aliens look at humans like soul containers, and sometimes they can harvest off of that. So if you're talking about the elites wanting mass death because it's better for the environment if there's less people on Earth, so there's a lot of death in war. There's a lot of death in disease, COVID. There's a lot of death in, you know, with the foods and different cancers and stuff. So it's,
dude,
it's just a lot, man. So I always just try to shift my timeline and try to stay away from the inside of a nuclear blast. You know?
Yeah, man.
As long as you can shift away from that and never find yourself in a car crash or something like that.
Seriously, yeah, man. It's
easier said
than done. Easier said than done, for sure.
Way easier said than done.
100%. And it's like, you know, you don't want to be totally checked out, you know what I mean? No. And be completely ignorant to what's happening, you know, all over. But at the same time, it's like, man, it can really get to your emotion, you know?
Well,
I mean, yeah, there's really too much going on all the time.
Yeah, for sure,
We're definitely, we've never been this connected to, like, everything constantly.
Mm-hmm. Your kiss was just saying yesterday how, like, yeah, it's just too much, like, that our generation's hyper-aware. We were talking about the election.
Yeah.
He's like, as the years move on, like, change will come because we're so... Yeah. Aware. We're talking about the internet and everything, you know, the kids having internet at 1 year old and everything.
Like, yeah.
All the knowledge that's on the net.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Somebody that works in the restaurant industry, seeing like a couple with a kid.
Yeah.
And they bring them in and they put an iPad in front of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they might pull it away and they start to like freak out and react. And it's a very interesting thing to think about, because if you really think about that, their brains are being stimulated by this light, by everything that is happening in front of them. And and it's gratifying, you know, it's yeah, exactly. And that's happening to a young mind at a young age.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's no different for us at this old age, you know, constantly being...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We feel the withdrawals from it. We feel,
you know,
the popcorn. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't be at the elevator waiting for it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's also just about, like, what you're putting into it, you know. You know, it's cool.
Absolutely.
You put the iPad in front of the kid, but, like, you know, put some brand games on there. Saying.
Yeah,
like, there's ways but around it.
I'm thinking from even the perspective on that. Just, you know, instead of giving them like coloring or something.
Yeah, no, for sure, lines, for sure. It's all about balance at the end.
Yeah,
too. You know,
I'm not gonna be here and be like, you know, trying
don't
to
jerk his rap.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But like, but I think that's just a great example
for
the entirety of where our future is going.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
for
the rise of ADHD, the rise of like all these different
and then putting in
mental illnesses
too. It's like, never know.
So yeah, it's just a very interesting thought that I had the other night.
My TikTok finally got the STEM feed upgrade, the thing that the Chinese kids have had for like 10 years.
Yeah,
they finally got it over here after they probably had to fight for that shit.
It's crazy.
You get like to robotics and mathematics, right. And then you switch over to the For You, and then, you know,
yeah,
no, got your twerks and you got your Mr. Beast.
Yeah, you know, building homes.
You said what?
Building homes, Mr. Beast.
Oh, yeah,
oh, man.
I built 300 homes in Africa.
Yeah, it's like,
all right, people will get mad at anything he does, right?
Yeah.
He built them out of chocolate bars,
though. Yeah, man.
It melted.
Dude, yeah, no, it's crazy.
The brain rot. Yeah, I mean, I want to get to this like content creator thing, man.
Yeah,
because you're an artist, you're a live musician, but you've got some releases and stuff. And we were briefly talking about how you don't do TikToks right now.
Yeah,
and I mean, there's just it's just too much, right? You're one guy. How are you going to study artwork to do your covers?
Absolutely.
How are you going to mix, master? How are you going to publish? How are you going to get into commercials, live shows, bands? It's too much. And then studying content, how to grab attention in the first 3 seconds.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, like, I don't know how you feel about like that content.
Yeah, aspect. I feel like nowadays as a musician, you kind of have to be a content creator at the same time. Yeah, definitely. If you want to get to the masses, I mean, you got to use social media. That's kind of like not really much you can do about that. You know. For me, I just don't have the time to be doing mad TikToks and stuff right now.
Yeah.
If I, you know, maybe I can, you know, if I balance my time way more. But another part of it is that, do I really want to? You know what I mean? Do I want to set up a camera in front of the drums and be like, this is the beat for Billie Jean? You know?
Right away, because they're going to keep scrolling.
Man.
I feel you, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
I forgot my follow-up on that, but yeah. I mean, it's just part of it nowadays, too.
Yeah, yeah. You can't really get away from it, but...
I remember what I was going to say. Are you someone who is looking for fame? Are you someone who is ready or looking for celebrity?
You know, it's actually really, really funny. Somebody asked me the other day, do you think it makes sense... to try to be a famous rapper? right?
Someone asked you that?
Yeah, someone asked me that. And I was like, if you're immediately looking for fame in this music industry,
yeah,
then you're in the wrong industry.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like when you try to look for fame before the passion for the actual craft,
yes, that's it.
That's when the music starts taking a toll. That's when your own mental health starts taking toll. And that's when people around you are like, I'm calling out the fakery in this bakery. You know what I mean? You know, so it's like, yeah, I don't think I'm looking for fame necessarily. I think if I'm out there and, you know, doing my thing globally, that'll probably come.
Right.
You
won't be surprised.
Yeah. It's like, you know, because it's the music industry, man. People are going to see you. It's part of the gig, but it's like, that's not the core of what I'm trying to do.
And that's why you'll make it.
Yeah.
And that's why you've already made it, is because you don't feel some type of way about that.
Absolutely.
You have that passion.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's something what's more of a recommendation that you're giving out to any upcoming artists that are listening, like, get the passion in before you even think about it.
Find what you're passionate about within the music.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, what makes you feel something.
Yeah. For me, it was like the diversity, you know, just being
the genres.
Genre diversity, you know, just finding beauty in all of these different things. Mm-hmm. And then also bringing them together.
That's just the next level.
Like, core of like jazz and jazz fusion is, you know, bringing all this stuff, these different elements together. Yeah. So I think for me, that's what I'm most passionate about with the music.
Yeah.
And that's my driving force, rather than, you know, having 5 million people see me in a, I don't know.
Right. A post.
On stage you know, my post going
like some likes.
It's cool. Yeah. You know, and thinking about that really kind of like, it makes you anxious.
Oh.
You know, I already got like kind of like anxiety.
You're like, low key.
So like, I don't really want to add to that.
Well, I mean, if you go back to 2012 and Instagram and like just horrible, the rate of women, you know, suicide off themselves or whatever. And like, or just depression and shit like that.
Yeah.
No, it's just horrible, man. This is the image.
Very sad.
Yeah. I heard this, and I'll give you this for when you do become famous. You have to treat it as like God, because you have to like pretend it's like a God that people worship, because people are going to hate you and love you.
Yeah.
So you have to separate from that. People's downfall is when they are like, oh, everybody loves me.
Right.
No, you have to separate from it.
Yeah.
You know? That's what somebody had said. There's a lot of these like fake coaches online.
That's real good. Yeah, I like that.
Not to fall into it, but that's people, like, a lot of artists will have like alter egos and stuff to avoid that pressure and stuff.
For sure. Yeah, and that's why I kind of had to do the Rottweiler thing, you know, just, you know, get like a slight alter ego.
To not see your legal name.
Yeah, I mean,
just that, like.
I mean, I'm cool with that. You know, some people introduce me as my own legal name. Like when I'm on stage or whatever. But
yeah,
I feel like.
You're good with both though, right?
Yeah, I'm good with both. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, it's cool.
Anything coming to you as we start to wrap up? I think we're 5 minutes from the hour. This has just been exhilarating.
I don't think I have anything itching my brain.
Word.
My boy.
Hard.
Shout out Cars.
Yeah.
Shout out Cars.
That's true. Yeah, we got to get into the Cars real quick. Before we go, this is okay, favorite car. This is left field. Koenigsegg.
Okay,
if you're into cars.
Yeah, if you're into cars.
If you're into cars, really not that lucky.
Yeah.
But if you don't really know about cars, and I say, oh, I love Koenigseggs, man, what are you like? Probably going to look at me like,
the fuck did you?
How do you even spell that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
What did you say to me?
Right, seriously.
She's like,
man, you know, speaking of growing up in Trinidad, you know, so Trinidad was a British colony.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of British TV programs.
Okay,
so I grew up watching like the BBC, which had a show called Top Gear.
Yeah, you know? Of course. That's
Top Gear.
That's
the big three, man.
That is everybody's grounding thing for being into cars. If you're somebody that is into cars, Top Gear is the reason.
Yes.
Hello.
Oh man,
there's a ton.
Yeah, there's
many.
OG Top Gear has like at least 23 seasons.
Yeah, it went on for like a decade and like a half before Jeremy Clarkson, who punched one of the producers. And so he's low-key like one of the most worst people to work with ever.
But he literally, he punched one of the producers and then got fired from the show. And then the other two were like, well, no. So they also left. And that like fucked them.
Yeah, seriously.
So
Navy SEALs.
A lot.
Yeah, it was one of their most viewed shows like in their BBC history.
And not even just like their most viewed shows. I mean, they had so many other brands associated with it. Like they had a magazine.
Yeah.
Like it was it was a like journalist. Phenomenon. Like
yeah,
super strong brand.
Absolutely. Super, super incredibly. Absolutely. And like it still is alive today, but yeah, like
it's not the same.
They tried to get the guy from Friends. They got him.
Matthew.
Matt. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, not Perry. The other dude.
I forget his actual.
The fuck you saying?
Friends to the friends.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Did I say something real quick? I was afraid of the Friends video game because it was like rated T and it was like mild sex
themes
of the thing. And as a child, I was afraid of like weird like things like that.
That's crazy, actually.
I was afraid of like Family Guy. Like my stepdad like tried to give me a Family Guy season 4 DVD and like, I said no because I was like afraid of it.
That's nuts.
But yeah, so they had the Friends guy and that did not generate anything. And then Amazon picked them up.
The grand tour.
And that just ended like literally this like 2 months ago.
It's good stuff.
No, they're just, they don't have like a decision on who's going to take it over. Mm-hmm. But the three of them just decided they're done with it.
Because they've been doing it for so long. You know,
I mean, damn near like 30 years they've been doing this.
But those cats, man, those three men,
Some of the funniest.
So funny, bro.
Funniest people. Like, absolutely. So well. Like, you didn't even have to have a script or anything. They just naturally.
Seriously. Absolutely. And that's where I learned some of the coolest cars.
Bro, yeah.
That you would just not even know just on, like, the everyday person.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, so many.
Favorite car.
My favorite? Porsche 911. I was telling him this earlier, like
German engineering, man.
German engineering.
That's one thing the Germans got. It's
so,
making cars, man. Seriously, like, so good at it.
That's what you said.
The 911 is not like it, like fully changed since its inception.
Yeah,
like it's just been small increments of like tiny little improvements. It's like tiny, tiny like
just perfections. Reasons. How can we make it slightly better?
It's funny because every time somebody like drives like the newest Porsche, they're like, there's no way they can top this. This is the greatest. And then the next year, you're like, how did they fucking do it? Like,
something about the Germans. I mean, there's that theory that Germany did actually win World War II.
Interesting.
Because of
Volkswagen?
Yeah, one because of the auto industry.
Yeah,
we all buy those cars and they're like super complicated to fix.
Side note, I'm actually part German too.
That's wild.
Yes.
Two, you had Operation Paperclip where the United States went in to Nazi Germany and grabbed all the scientists and engineers and brought them here.
Yeah, no, that's kind of nuts.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, and I mean, every country did that. That was a power. They were fighting over those. Yeah. But, but I mean, Volkswagen, they built tanks all throughout World War II. And that's.
It's so nuts, bro.
That's what made them.
What? I die a little bit.
That's what made them like really powerful, and was the tanks. Yeah.
No Volkswagen, and then Volkswagen owns Lamborghini at this
point. Yeah. Well, Volkswagen owns like I want to say 70% of the car industry.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones that they don't own are like most American brands.
Yeah.
Or else they're safe.
No, like they don't own Mercedes and they don't own BMW, but they own Audi, Lamborghini, Porsche.
Audi had a division with Lamborghini as well.
Yes. So Audi bought Lamborghini.
Yes. They were the first ones.
Yeah, they were the first ones. Right. And then it got. Yep. Yeah.
Shout out to Audi. That's also one of my favorites. I love Audis, man.
It's funny because I low key kind of hate them.
Bro, they just dropped the RS6. That wagon?
No. Oh, see, here's the thing. I like the RS6 so nice. Wagon. Yeah. I actually really do like that.
That's like a beautiful car, bro.
My problem with Audi is that they make perpetually shit cars.
Okay, I could take that.
Like,
I could take that.
So basically, like, especially the old
2003,
the 2000s, the 2000s, all of like the work that you need to do on the engine, how they build them, you have to drop the engine from the bottom out of the car to do
that's
even a simple oil change.
No. Yeah.
So that's like it's they just made them so that it would be like entirely a car that you would have to consistently work on.
They're so beautiful though.
They are beautiful. They're so there is
probably not to maintain, but
there is one that I really want. It's an old 2011 S6. It has the Lamborghini V10 that's in. And it's just detuned, so you could tune it to the level of
Of the Lambo.
It's the same thing that's also in the R8 and everything else.
Gotcha.
But I mean, V10.
That's also.
But that thing, car. That thing was so. I mean,
that car's not that sporty. It's kind of rounded.
It's rounding, yes.
Which is that OG look.
But it is so fast, so incredibly fast. Yeah. And you don't need to do much to change it. But I love that car. I love that car.
Shut out cars, man. I want to, before we wrap up, I want to touch on the top 10 pop charts. What are you feeling? Sabrina Carpenter, are you feeling any of this? What else is popping right now? I don't know.
Man, I have not tapped into the Sabrina
Carpenter. Are you a Kanye? Like
Kanye is cool. I'm more old Kanye. Definitely.
What else is on the pop charts? I don't know really right now.
I really don't even know.
Tommy Richmond. Like, do any of these names ring a bell to you? You're too classically.
So much jazz and prog rock and stuff. I'd be stuck in my old way sometimes, you know.
But you're not tapped in really to like what's like considered. You know,
I probably should be
just for knowledge, but you don't have to enjoy it. Or anything. What about you, Serena Carpenter fan? I saw a couple of those.
Shout out Ice Spice.
Shout out Ice Spice.
We love Ice Spice, man. Ice Spice is great.
I'm not tapped in on the charts at all.
Ice Spice is kind of hilarious.
I just saw a photo and I'm an Ice Spice fan.
You know who's actually really fired? Dochi is super.
It's funny because I did not know who she was.
Man.
I'm going to Flames. Camp Flogna.
Yeah.
And like I saw like people just started posting about Dochi.
Yeah. No, that's if you don't know Dochi, go.
She's on it.
So she now absolutely.
How many Flogna tickets you got?
Yeah. Let me get. That's on my birthday too. Yeah. The 16th to 17th, right? November 16th. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, bro, I'm definitely trying to go, but I don't think I'm gonna be in Mexico. Like.
Yeah. I'm going to make it out to one of them.
I swear. It's crazy because this was a 10-year anniversary, so it's like kind of big.
Not going to lie, like I don't feel like there's like any headliners on there.
Because
that's what I feel like because all of the names listed, granted, like there's some big names, but supposedly what I read on Reddit was that Gambino was supposed to be the headliner, but then he like canceled his whole tour.
Gotcha.
And that's why they didn't release the lineup because they had to like redo like a bunch of different stuff.
Oh yeah, Childish Gambino is great. Super great.
Super great. So good. Absolutely. So good.
Yeah.
RIP Childish Gambino though. He's done. He's done. But he's not done with music, but he's done with the moniker.
I actually did not know that.
Yeah, no, like this last album is the last album.
Oh,
and that was gonna be his last tour. That's why it was like really like impactful.
That's interesting.
He's supposed to. He's from the sound of it. I think it was he's switching more towards focusing on the acting side of everything.
I see.
And then occasionally
that Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
That was so good. So good.
That was heat.
So good.
That was pretty heat with
it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the original it kinda has that idea of the original, but it's nowhere close to being
way better.
It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Her dad is a drummer.
Which
drummer? Peter Erskine from Weather Report Jazz and Fusion Group.
I don't know why, but that show made me like have a crush on her. Like,
hey, Maya Erskine is a good, very good actress. Yeah. Actually,
She was incredible. Yeah, genuinely incredible.
Check out her show Pen 15.
Yeah. No. See, that's
too good, bro.
I haven't watched it, but that I remember seeing all the like promo for it, and I would like, always like look at her and like.
If just you want to go back and think like about that. Like middle school and the nostalgia behind it, it's like this is hilarious. Actually, man,
bro, I'm gonna have to tap into that.
Yeah, please do. Shout out to Maya Erskine and Peter Erskine.
Awesome. Shouts out that. Shouts out the whole gang, man. Shouts out Rottweiler.
Ah, oh, man.
Colin, being on the show today.
Thank you.
Boys.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we are at the hour. Think cool. We'll part two, man.
This is awesome.
Get more into it. More aliens and stuff.
Yeah, man. Super glad that I got to be here. Thank you.
Dude, what a pleasure, dude. Absolutely. Thanks for making the time. Catch Rottweiler at a show. Follow his socials for sure. He's always posting the shows and everything, which is important. To get the word out. So,
yes, sir.
Almost Spicy Podcast, man. Ben, Francisco, Rottweiler. It's been a pleasure. Subscribe. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, maybe not. Maybe next month. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you very much, brother.
Love.
Love.
Love. Absolutely.
Cool. Cut. Beautiful, beautiful. That was fun.
That was fun. Yeah. Fun.